finished in his due time, the Son of Man. And as I was going through this doctrinal study of the Son of Man, there are so many places that could sound like chastisement, but they're not. The reason I say that is because it keeps talking about Jesus coming in the flesh to lay down and die, you know, and why he came, and then he's going to have his resurrection. What I kept thinking about, and as we looked into the Son of Man, was if he hadn't come in the flesh as the Son of Man, we would not have our salvation. Son of God could not have died for us. Mm-hmm. Because he was God, everything was perfect, the world was made through it. Now, the Son of Man is still the same person, but when he emptied himself and laid aside everything that he was as God's Son, he became like us. One, and it says in many places, in the appearance of man. And it was as the Son of Man he went to the cross. As the Son of Man he bore what he lived here daily. And it was the Son of Man that died for us and resurrected. And the last time there was a sighting of the Son of Man is when Stephen looked up to the throne of heaven as he's being stoned to death, and he sees the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Father. That's our Jesus. Our Jesus is the Son of Man. Anyway, what we are looking at, we are starting in Kings again. We finished with just our last one. I think we did do a lot. It's so long ago. Somebody's studying ago. I think we did the last one was the first two chapters of Kings. So with that. Everybody in here has done a book before, so I really don't need to go through the beginning explanations, but as you look through your book, let's start with that first lesson. And that's the best way for us to take care of that first day we come. I had wanted to do something else, but honestly, I'd have had to have two more weeks to do that. So let's look and see what it says. Lesson one. Man's quest for power and prominence. How are you guys in my peripherals doing? You can't see me anyway. Okay. Man's quest for power and prominence. Now, in this lesson, it has cross-references. The following is located in the appendix. Now, for all of you, you know where the appendix is. It's in the back. So, let's look to the back, because you're actually going to pay attention to the first two chapters. Page 105. It's 1 Kings 1:15 at a glance. And today we'll touch base on 1 and 2. Life is not without conflict, yet above and beyond the conflict, the word of the Lord stands sure. God's purposes will not be thwarted by man. What peace such knowledge can bring to your heart. Let's look at how this is played out in the life of Solomon, the son of David, the king. Day one. After you seek God in prayer, let's begin our study by simply reading through 1 Kings 1. You will find the text in the appendix of this workbook. Remember that this is history, God's record of what transpired millennia ago. The Old Testament, the Bible of the Jewish people, known as the Tanakh, was recorded for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages has come. There are many lessons to learn from biblical history, which is his story. The account of God's dealings with his chosen people, came through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons, and with the nations which interacted with them. Remember Jacob, whose name was changed by God to Israel, as the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, which compromised the nation of Israel. With that brief introduction, read 1 Kings 1. When you finish, summarize what's happened in a few words as possible. Now, for us, to get a little background, probably ought to wait until next week, but I'll do it here. But to get a little background, why is God developing a nation? Do you remember? I mean, what's happened in history up to this point?
They've had a period of judges.
I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did God develop a nation in the first place?
He was supposed to reveal his person to the world.
So he picked a peoples to do that with. Did he pick those people because they were more important or better than anybody else?
No.
It's kind of what the Israel itself didn't get. Why did he need to do that? What has come before that? Start all the way back at Genesis.
The fall of man, the sin.
The fall of man and sin. And in that grace, what did God promise there that was going to be developed through the rest of the Bible?
He promised a seed.
He promised a seed. Well, how are they going to keep track of that seed?
Through a lineage, through a line.
Through a nation. And so a nation was born, wasn't it? And there is the picture of the seed before that. We go to chapter 5 of Genesis, and they talk about there, and they talk about it as each one is added, each generation is added. But Abraham came about, the seed now came through his line. And we see it developed. So that by the time history gets to the New Testament, gets to Matthew or gets to Luke, we see the lineage as shown us by God for a purpose. And so Israel is developed, is brought to life, is given birth because God is going to protect that seed. And we watch that seed all the way through the generations as we're seeing. And right now, we're at King David. Does King David bear that line?
Yes.
He does. In fact, what comes out of King David's line is going to be who?
Jesus.
And his, both his mother and father are of that line. So as we watch, and this is what we're going to be studying for this next year, we're going to watch that line develop, the history of the Jewish people be set. They still have a king. We're going to lose the king fairly shortly. Or we're going to lose the nation. It's going to divide and split. But right now, it's together under the headship of David. And David has promised his lineage to who? He's promised his seat to
Solomon.
To Solomon. But we're going to see a little usurper come up here. Okay. So that's our background. Before we get into this, we're going to read one. Here, read it. And I am not going to say these names right. I haven't gone over this week. But we'll work on it. What I want you to do while we do this, because I think it says it over here. Do you have pencils?
Yep.
Just mark references to time. Do you remember how you do that?
Clock.
A clock. Right. And I usually, and I don't think you guys probably brought your colors, but I usually do it in green. And if I do it on my computer, this is a circle. And, okay, so the first time we're just going to read it, and then we're going to go back and read it again. Now King David was old, advanced in age, and I think about this, but we still got Joab, who I think of as around the same age, but evidently not, and we have Nathan, who's still the prophet, and we have all this stuff going on. They seem like they should be similar age, but Verse 1, now David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king, and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm. So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout the territory of Israel, and found Abishag, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful. She became the king's nurse and served him. But the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, what have you done so? Why have you done so? And he was also a very handsome man. I think all the kids that were born to David were very handsome. And he was born after Absalom. He had conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and followed Adonijah as they helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, told you I'd have a hard time, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatling by the stone of Zohelath, which is beside En-Rogel. And he invited all his brothers, the sons kings, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the mighty men, and Solomon his brother. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? So now, come, please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Go at once to King David and say to him, have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne, then why has Adonijah become king? But while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom, and now the king was very old. Abishag, the Shunammite, was ministering to the king. Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king, and the king said, what do you wish? And she said to him, my lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Now behold, Adonijah is king, and now, my lord, the king, you do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king. And Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon, your servant. As for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come about, as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders. Behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet, and when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord the king, you have said, Adonijah shall be king after me. Oh, have you said, Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, long live King Adonijah. But me, even your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada of your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not shown your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David said, call Bathsheba to me. She came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king bowed and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely, as I vow to you, by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, I will indeed so do so today. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king and said, may my lord King David live forever. And the king David said, call me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came to the king's presence, and the king said to them, take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gion. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel, and blow the trumpet, and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, as the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethite, and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on David's mule and brought him to Gion. Zadok the priest then took the horn of the oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. The long chapter. Or feels long. All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with them and heard it as they finished eating, when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, why is the city making such an uproar? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest, came. Then Adonijah said, come in, for you are a valiant man, bring us good news. But Jonathan replied to Adonijah, oh, no, Lord, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet. Why do they have to read this list every single time? They just say the troop, the guys. Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, and the Pelethites. They have made him ride on the king's mules. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gion. They have come up from there rejoicing, so that that city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself. The king bowed himself on the bed. And the king also said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they rose and each went his own way, I imagine quite quickly. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he rose, went, and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah is afraid of the king Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me this day that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon said, if he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before the king, before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Okay, that was day one, number one. Number two. Now, let's do our observations of 1 Kings 1. If this is the first precept class, it isn't the first precept class here, but it is for you. You can just listen. if this is the first precept course you have ever done, make sure you read the page for the newcomers in the beginning of the workbook. If you have studied 2 Samuel with us, which delved into the first two chapters of 1 Kings, as we concluded our study of David, we urge you to observe this chapter afresh. If you have done a precept course on the New Testament epistle, you will find observing historical books a bit different. We just did that, didn't we? In the former, you deal largely with doctrine. So in the New Testament, you deal largely with doctrine. And we did what last time?
Spiritual gifts.
I'm glad you remember. In the former, but the majority of the Old Testament books, you observe events, which is what we do. And that's why when you go through a Old Testament book, it's a history book, you're looking for events. You look through Acts, you're looking for through events, but what is added there is doctrine. So what we do when we're looking through 1 Kings is we're looking for events, what happens and what's involved with us. What questions are we asking?
Who, what, when?
That same thing. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. We're just asking. Therefore, if you want to be careful, you don't get bogged down in observation. Watch for the main things. People, what they do, and what happens consequently. Focus on these. Watch the king in action. Listen to him, capital H, as he speaks through his prophets, and you will learn much for your life. You will find yourself instructed, encouraged, and strengthened in your knowledge of God, which in turn will give you hope. Romans 15:4. Although there's not a lot to mark at this point, in 1 Kings, make sure you do the following. So, this is our list. This is what we're going to look for. And we're going to stop and mark. Now, I know most of you probably didn't bring the pens you usually mark with. So, you can just put a dot or, something that, whatever would help you. Or if you want to just wait till you get home, that's okay. That's fine with me. It's your paper. Pick a mark geographical references. Many of us simply double underline these in green. So when you come to an area that's talking about double underline it in green, pick a distinctive color for the following people and color code them throughout the chapter. All you guys have missed is me reading.
Can we start earlier?
9:30. Yeah, 9:30 is when we start. We were going to start at 10, and there might be some confusion there.
Oh.
No, we have...
It's been in the bulletin, 9:30.
Does it say 9:30?
It says 9:30 in the bulletin.
No, I mean, can we go back to 10?
Why not?
Okay, we're going to go back to 10.
Some of them will be here this week.
Okay. The reason we had talked about 9:30 and why it was in the bulletin was because they were going to have a soup kitchen. But as that has been followed through with others who had soup kitchens, we found we really can't because we have a daycare next door. So we're going back to 10, okay? So it's close to 11:45.
So we're going back to 10?
We're going back to 10, so we need to put that on the calendar. Probably maybe announce it or something.
So Bible study will start at 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll start at 10 rather than 9:30. But I know it was in because I had changed as soon as I heard we were doing the other so that we'd be able to be out of here by the time they needed to make the soups. But that's all not there anymore. So
10 next week.
10 next week. 10 to 11:45. So we've done A and B. A is mark the reference at a time. B is geographical references. And when you go through any of the history books, mark the geographical references specifically when you go to the next place. Like if you start out in here, though, we're talking about Israel and Judah. So the only other place I can think of in chapter 1 is Gaia.
I can get one this. I'm short some books.
Are you?
So they're on the way.
Okay, I'll just listen.
But you can have this one if you want.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Do you have an email? What I can do is send you a copy of the first lesson. Okay, anybody else who doesn't have one, just let me know and I'll send them a copy.
Okay.
But I need their email.
Speaking of email, if the list is still back there with you, Marie, could you pass it to the people who just came in, Ellen, and thank you.
It's just to make sure we have everybody's address, and we won't do anything about it until we go through another class. Then we'll, then, or you guys, I guess you can start typing it now, whatever you want to do, or just insert what you already did and eliminate or something. Okay. C. Pick a distinctive color for the following people and color code them throughout the chapter. There is no need to color pronouns. Now, the reason she says that is because when we do New Testament, we do pronouns. So here, we don't. So you just mark their names when it says that. You can if you want. Yes, absolutely. It's your paper. Some people get overwhelmed with all the markings. Why do we mark, by the way?
Slow us down.
Slows us down, makes us pay attention. There are other actual reasons.
Yeah,
why
like an outline.
It does help you pick it out.
And you know, down key words and key angles.
And what are key words?
Words that are either repeated often or the text wouldn't be the same.
Right. And that's specifically the New Testament, but the Old Testament is the same way. And the reason we do it, like for instance, this week, what did I just teach at retreat? The Son of Man. How do you think I taught that? I went through every verse in the Bible that says the Son of Man. Because as I've taught you topics, that's what you do with a topic. And when you have a key word in a chapter, that is a topic of that chapter. And when you do cross-references, guess what you're looking up?
That word's
topic in another chapter so that you get a fuller picture. That's why... One of the main reasons that you mark. So you're marking to find it easily. You're marking to see what words are used a lot, often. And in the New Testament particularly, if you take it out, that changes the meaning of the word, of the text that you're in. But you are still setting up topics to understand. What have we studied before? Well, as a class, we had a little class on rest. That's what we did with rest. We went to the area of the Bible that had the most discussion on rest, and then we developed that to the rest of the Bible, where it was. So here, these are our key words. Now, why would people be key words, in a sense, all the time?
Because it's history.
Because it's history. And so, like if we look at the book of Genesis, it's divided by its people. The first part of the book is about creation. Then you get into old Noah, and you have a section about Noah, and then you go on to Abraham, and then you have a section about Abraham, and then you go to his son. Because again, you have a section following the seed, we have a section, and we finish the book.
I was always thinking about Genesis, and of course, the Bible. Who made that name in Genesis?
It means the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I...
Holy God.
Yeah. Wow.
That'd be my guess.
I thought, yeah.
But that's Genesis, the beginning, stops with the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm. And then from that point on, that's who our main focus is, the 12 tribes of Israel, until we come to Matthew. Okay, so pick a distinctive color for the following people and color code them throughout the chapter. There is no need to color pronouns unless, of course, you prefer to or with... Or it helps you discern who it is, who is who. Sometimes when you have verses that say he, there you have to go back and forth between who all those he's are, and you may want to mark that kind of thing. I know whenever they're talking about God in Christ, I have to sit down for a long time to figure out which is him, which is he, which is so, because it's going to make a difference, especially doctrinally. Yeah.
Right, and especially because in our English language, the pronoun always refers to the previous, the noun closest to
right.
But not so in
but
the scripture.
But not consistently in the Bible.
Not consistent.
We start with that, though. We start with what is the last noun? Does it fit? I know when I first started studying the book of Titus, for instance, it would say, our Savior. And I would think, well, who do you think our Savior is automatically? Jesus, but it's talking about God. And I didn't, and I haven't really seen that a lot of other places, but it's there in Titus, and it's talking about God the Savior. So that made me stop and think. I marked it wrong the first time. Next to each of these names, write down what they are. So basically, that's the goal. They want you to find out the goal of who these people are. You've seen Abishai before, so I think she gets pink because she's the only female. Somehow, somewhere, you got to make her pink. Adonai, find out who he is, and you've seen him, so you're going to mark him. And Joab, who we've marked all the way through so far, anything that's been talking about David in the first place. Do you remember who Joab is?
David. He was the head guy for
David's
a while.
David's commander. Do you remember who else he is?
He's a nephew.
His
sister's son.
Yeah,
I know. I had that same question. How old could he be?
Well, yeah.
I was wondering if it was somebody else with the same name.
He's probably a half a generation younger than David.
Okay.
So David's probably about, I don't know what he is.
Well, because David was the youngest of the family.
He was.
Uriah was one of the older sisters.
They could have been about the same age.
Could be. But he's still there. But the only one they call old is David.
But I think he's old because of the battles and warriors.
Yes.
Because his age, he reigned 40 years. And in Ziklag, he was first married. So he can't be as old. Like they say Moses was 120 years old, but he wasn't old.
Right, right.
But David was old.
Yeah,
70 or 75, whatever they say.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder if in context, if we're told that he was old simply because so much of it results, he's on his bed.
Yeah.
He's not sitting on the throne, and so I'm wondering if that has something to do
and
with
even
it.
Even when Solomon becomes king, he lays on his bed and prostrates himself.
Right, right. And so we're not sure if the reason we're told about Abishag is because was she there in the bed the whole time? You know, and
well,
we don't know.
Right,
right.
Very tolerant nurse.
Yeah, but whenever people come in.
Right.
Yeah. So
David's cold. We got
David's
that.
Cold. Yeah.
Those of us who are getting older can think.
Yep, it's a little chilly in here.
Somebody had it up to 85 and it was still chilly, so that was obviously in the process of going up. Somebody who knows what they're
doing. Those castles must have been really cold.
Check the temperature. I put it to 70. But I don't know if what it's doing.
I think that the temperature just goes back and forth between
slow.
The whether it's a nice half a day or
what is it?
My furnace in the house,
so
I keep moving it back.
It's set to go all the way up to 70, but we're still at 60.
Yeah, that's what it did. But when I set it to 70, it was set at 85.
Right, but it hadn't.
I think it, no,
somebody had just turned
the hallway.
It up.
You know, not being able to close off the hallway. It's going down.
Are they going to get
and
a door
Rust,
in there?
Sometimes Rusty has the doors open down there. It's probably creating a draft.
Well, it also takes minimally half an hour to get warm, and it obviously didn't because I turned it on a half an hour ago.
Wear
an
extra sweater.
Yeah.
I got all my shirts.
I have my mittens.
I got all my flannel shirts.
I don't wear a sweater.
Okay, so our next one is Abathar, and then
Solomon.
Ask the investigative questions as you observe the text. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Who is this about? What is happening? When and where it is happening? Why it is happening? And how it is done? There's quite a bit of intrigue in this chapter, isn't there? You see so clearly the conflicts, the fracturing of relationships created by quests for power, position, and prominence. Things haven't changed, have they? As Solomon would write, there's nothing new under the sun. We'll go deeper into the story tomorrow. So, let's go back and read. Anybody else want to read?
Read one.
Yeah, just read one and stop. First, when you see a time.
Now King David was old.
And mark the geographical references and the five people. Okay? All right, go ahead.
So we could start or stop with now, Or we could go until...
Yes, because now is the time.
Yeah. Or we could go until King David was old. And then advance...
But those are also times.
Right, right. Isn't that what you wanted me to do?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then advanced in age.
Is that a time, too?
That's kind of the same time.
It's the same, yeah. It all yeah. makes together.
And they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him...
So what did you learn about King David so far?
He was old.
He was old and
cold.
Old and cold.
Even with clothes on.
And covered him with clothes. Okay.
Probably thin.
You know, I don't know. It could be, it just, there are different reasons people's blood doesn't work the same way. I know, and I think if I talked to every older person in the room, they'd have a different story. I've been hot most of my life. No matter what temperature it was, I've been hot. I lost, they took everything out, and my hands are like ice cubes all the time, even in the middle of the summer. So, who can know? Thyroid does that.
Circulation
yeah. does it. That's why
he's not getting any exercise, so he's in the bed all the time.
But even, that's what I mean. He's not getting any exercise. Yeah. And probably somebody said he's worn out from battle. So there's, and there's all sorts of kinds of battles, guys. We can do the same thing. We can be worn out from battle. In different situations of our lives. I'm not supposed to be talking about that yet. So
his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom that my lord the king may keep warm." Okay, so you want me to keep going until I see times or subjects or... Because the king was mentioned.
So, did we learn anything else about the king there?
They called for a servant to keep him warm.
So, this is what answering what questions? What questions are we answering now? Because we've got King David. What are we answering about him? Even though he's not really on our list, so we're just
how
paying attention.
How to keep him warm?
He's king of Israel.
He's king of Israel. So, that's a what. Right? So when we talk about him needing bedclothes, what does that answer?
Why they were searching for
why? That's a why. Exactly. All right. And we even had a who there. Or right. about to get the who.
Right. We have the pronouns for her, but we just don't have her name quite yet.
Not yet.
And they described her as a young virgin, so she's younger.
Yeah. So that's about her. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's another hard thing when I'm going through something, trying to realize who I'm actually paying attention to the answer. Because there, when it says they went to seek a young virgin for my lord the king, that's about both of them, isn't it?
Right.
So just pay attention.
But yet it's mainly about the king meeting his needs and how they meet his needs.
So what two things did you learn about, three things did you learn about the virgin, the young girl? She was a virgin. What else?
She was from Shema.
She's a Shemite. Yeah,
so that's location.
And she
was beautiful.
She was beautiful, and she attended the king, and she laid in his bosom. Okay. Go ahead.
So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king.
You may want to... underline territory of Israel. That's up to you. If you do that, I would suggest two lines of green. Okay.
The girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him, but the king did not cohabit with her.
Why do you suppose they put that there?
Well, she wasn't his concubine.
So
she
why
was his nurse.
So why did they put that there?
Well, later on we'll see.
She would still be a virgin. She would still be a young virgin.
So that allows her to be married, doesn't it? Right.
Theoretically, in some circles.
Yeah, but she belonged to the king.
Right.
But she belonged to the king.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this old guy's going to die.
Right.
Now,
Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him.
So Adonijah is one that we're going to mark. So what did you learn about him there?
He's arrogant. He thinks he's going to take over the kingdom with 50 men.
But it tells who his father was.
Tells his mother.
Mother.
A mother.
His father's David's son.
He is one of the sons. So when they when they're talking about the sons of David, how do they talk about them? They talk
their
about
mother.
Them.
Their mother.
Their mother. Right, because he is already the son of David's, so he's got to be... So here, it's about the mother.
Whichever wife that was.
Yep.
There's a line of children.
Right. That's how they follow those lines. Okay.
And his, then he took 50 horsemen and... Mm-hmm.
Yep. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom.
So we see he was where he was in the birth order.
That's a time.
Yes. Yes. After.
He is handsome again. We also see his father wimps out once again. Mm-hmm. Did not he lose Absalom because of that?
Mm-hmm. And this is a full brother of Absalom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not supposed to know that yet. You know where
Hagen.
Right.
Mentions Hagen.
Right. Yeah.
And
think
we knew that Absalom was the son of Hagen.
Some did.
Right.
Yeah. Some remembered.
Well, and we can do the cross reference for Adonijah and go, and it'll take us back to.
Which we will as we start studying.
Yeah.
No, she remembers because she knows
what was in that
days.
Last.
I know. I just like to give her a hard time.
Me too. She can't run. One of the few people in this room who can't outrun me.
Well,
that's why I said few. There's a few. Okay, verse 7.
He had conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and following Adonijah, they helped him.
Now, do you know it said Abiathar? Is that how it said?
It says he had conferred with Joab.
The I don't mean that. Do you know how
Oh, pronunciation? I do not.
Okay.
I'm just guessing. Because
okay.
I didn't know him personally, but, yeah. That's how
Are you sure?
But that's how I'm taking a step.
Wasn't he that guy that...
You all think, Connie?
I am.
We all say it differently.
I'm self-preaching
myself.
I
totally said that before.
I don't know how things are pronounced, and honestly,
no.
We don't speak Hebrew.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, kind of hard.
We have four different pronunciations.
Alexander Scorby was respected as being the most accurate for pronunciation. So
who was?
Alexander Scorby.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He read the Bible, so I haven't seen
it. So to go to him and find out, why don't you look up the correct pronunciation of his name? The thing is that ancient Hebrew and present Hebrew is not the same.
No.
Ancient Greek and present Greek is not the same. So in many ways, you just kind of, when I listen to people read, I haven't listened to Scorby, but when I listen to people read, they all say things differently. Mm-hmm. So it's so as long as you know how it's spelled, I guess, mm-hmm. you know what they're talking about. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
But Zadok, the priest, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, I don't know.
I think it is Jehoiada because I
Jehoiada?
Didn't remember that from class.
Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah.
Kind of important.
Yep.
We've got priests on both sides. We've got prophets on both sides. Okay.
Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Enrogel.
That's geography.
Yes. Yes.
So what are we doing with that?
Underline.
I would underline the stone, too, because it's still a place. That just helps me know where it is.
And he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother.
Okay, so what names are we have we marked so far in this section?
Solomon. Joab.
Abathar.
Adonijah.
Zadok.
I don't think he did do Zadok.
Zadok is not on the list.
I don't know why, but...
Well, Zadok was with David. Stayed with David, but he's
well,
the personality.
They didn't just name him either.
Yeah.
They're just looking at the others. And the only other name we missed was Abishai, the Shunammite. You know why I'm no Shunammite? Because that's who's in the Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? So now come, please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon."
The time thing. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with the time things.
Yep. That's because they're confusing. They don't say 6 o'clock. So what are the time things?
Now is
come.
A clue.
Yeah.
Then is one in verse 11. Good. Verse 11 says, "Then Nathan." So when you get a "then," you usually get a sequential. He did this, then he did this, while he did this, then he did this. Those are sequential time senses.
So in 13, "go at once," would that be a recitation?
Go at once. I would say if you did it, it would be okay, and if you didn't, you didn't. It would also be okay.
I'll just do that one there for the whole thing.
The once, yeah. I think at once probably is. Go would be what? When you're saying, the king is saying, or when whoever it is saying, "go at once to the king," David, what is go at once?
It's an imperative.
It's an imperative. He's giving a command. So observe it as a comparative. How far have we read?
I haven't got read 13 yet.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think so. Go ahead.
Okay. "Go at once to King David and say to him, 'Have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, Surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Behold, while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words.'"
Is there any time in that one?
I think, after.
And also while.
And while, right. Those are important because Nathan is setting this up.
Right.
As he knows the king will accept it.
So there is a sequential way of doing it.
Right.
While you are speaking,
yes.
I will come in and confirm.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Good.
15. "So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishak the Shunammite was ministering to the king." I think that's quite awkward, but okay. Then, what do I know?
To come and meet him in the bedroom. It's
yeah.
A little awkward.
Yep. "Then Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king, and the king said, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'My lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, Surely your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Now behold, Adonijah is king, and now my lord the king, you do not know it.'"
Anything in there that we would mark?
No.
The names.
Adonijah.
Solomon.
Right. Adonijah.
Solomon.
And
verse 17.
Yes. Any time senses?
No.
Now, good.
And then Bathsheba, she comes in as well.
Right.
After.
How come she calls herself a maidservant instead of like his wife?
Well, because he had.
Because he's the king.
She was subject to the king still.
Yeah.
And so she's showing she remembers her place.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't ask her opinion. She's just saying, "I'm just a servant here. What do I know?"
Right. And that's humility.
Yeah.
You're showing humility. She's not going in and giving him orders, which it could sound like if she didn't say that.
Right.
"Didn't you tell me that Solomon was going to be on the throne?" She's going in, "Your maidservant."
Although she is applying that pressure.
Yes, she is. Right. But she's laying it out, and the one who's going to apply it is Nathan.
And it's
He didn't have a phone.
She knows him.
She's petitioning authority.
That's right. And when you do that in humility. That's one of the reasons, and this is going to sound crazy and off whatever, but I think one of the reasons that God talks about honoring your mother and father, it's the same thing. They're not, you know, before the Lord, they're no better than you, but it's a position of authority in your life as a child. But also to honor your husband, same thing. What does a man need from his wife?
I'm going to try that. I think I'll call myself when I want something from Ray as maidservant. That might work.
Well, try it.
Let us know how that turns out, Bonnie.
I think I know where
you're going to sit and stare at you. Right. He'll laugh his head off.
Because if you're going to do that, you need to do verse 16, where she bowed and prostrated herself.
Yeah. I'll try it. I'll see how it goes next week.
Keep in mind, she's bowing and prostrating herself before
the king.
So she's talking to him as the king.
All right.
Not her husband.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And I think in a way that when she's reminding him, you swore to your maidservant, that that's a time past tense, too.
Yeah.
This is something that happened before. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see.
She was a brave, though, because in those days you didn't appear before the king unless he asked to see you.
Yes. Well, we certainly see that in the story
of Esther.
Yes, but Esther was not talking to an Israelite.
No.
She was talking to a king of another country who had the right to kill her.
Right. Yeah.
Even though she was his wife.
Verse 19, Adonijah, he has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance and has invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. As for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him.
So what is that telling us? Is there any time senses in there?
After him.
As for now.
After and now, good.
Yeah.
But what is he telling us about Israel? Why is he saying that?
Everybody's watching in the country.
Israel's fickle. They're following the Adonijah now.
Well, they're actually waiting to see what the king will do.
Right.
Right.
To see who their next king really is. Because they don't know.
No, and they have to be careful because they could get killed when the new king.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Well, and we know that that's one of the reasons that Bathsheba needs to come before the king because if his other son takes that role, he's not going to want any competition. So both Bathsheba and Solomon will go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 21. Otherwise it will come about, as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders. And so the time sequence there.
Did we learn anything specifically about Solomon there? Because he's one of the guys on the list. Mm-hmm.
He was not invited to the party.
He was not invited to the party.
He would be considered an offender.
Yes.
Yeah. Like we said. Yeah. Behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Then Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah.'"
Okay, so today. What else? That wasn't just, she didn't read just one verse.
While she was still speaking.
While she was still speaking.
Yeah.
What verse did you start with?
22, I think.
Okay. While she was still speaking, there's more.
The prophet came in. Nathan came in.
It says, then Nathan came in.
Yeah.
Good. And all right. Now, when we come to 20, verse 25, and it starts out with a statement, for he has gone down today. What is for answering the question to?
Why?
It always answers the question, almost always, not always, but almost always answers the question,
right.
Why?
This is why I'm telling you this.
Right.
That's why,
that's why we want to pay attention to what he says.
Yeah.
And so are we, is there anybody in what we've seen who we're marking?
Yeah, are you, is that what you're asking?
The who questions.
Yeah.
Adonijah.
Okay, what did we learn about him?
He went down today and sacrificed oxen, fattened sheep.
He kind of made himself king.
And so why did he do that?
He had no resistance.
He had no resistance. Why did he sacrifice all that stuff?
Well, he's setting himself up as king, so this is...
And where is he doing this?
He's gone down.
You would assume the temple, right?
The stone of Zoe.
Oh, okay, a stone.
And,
right.
Which is beside Invovia, is where he's at.
So why is he doing this? He's doing it to be seen. He's doing it to make it like this is what's happening. This is, I am the king.
The king's dying, so now.
Does he make it seem like it's okay with the king?
Well, I assume it. And what has the king done so far?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He and he is the next in line.
So he must assume the king's not going to do anything here.
Mm-hmm.
And once he sets himself up and the king hasn't said anything, he's the guy. Okay. Which is why Nathan and Bathsheba are talking to the king. Because the only one in the whole kingdom that can change this is King David himself.
And Nathan has had Bathsheba come in and remind the king of his promise before Nathan now comes in and just kind of questioning, did you say Adonijah shall be the king?
Don't I remember something about Solomon?
No. Verse 26. But me, even your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not shown to your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?
So what did he just do there?
He wants to know if maybe the king did this. He knows the king didn't,
right.
But he's asking, well, perhaps you did this in private and didn't tell us or something.
See, there's godly manipulation, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we always think the manipulation is a bad word, but sometimes you have to present things to certain people or situations that is manipulation, but it's for their good, not for yours. And this is for the king's good, not for his own. So we need to really always look at our motives on this one, on that kind of thing, but he is doing it for the king, for the country too, isn't he?
Then verse...
Why did he give him the whole list of people?
Kind of wants to know who's on whose side here.
So he's laying that out too, isn't he? You even have a but there, which shows a contrast.
Nathan and Bathsheba knew that Solomon was to be the next one.
Right.
All those other guys.
Right. And that's why I think the nation was watching.
Right.
Because they're kind of wondering what's going to play out here. Okay.
Verse 28. Then King David said, call Bathsheba to me. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king vowed and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, "Your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day."
Any time tenses in there?
This day.
This day.
It's this day, and you have a... Did you start at verse 28?
Yes.
Okay, so you have...
Then.
Following time.
Right.
Then.
After.
If you see an after, yes.
In verse 30.
In verse
30.
King after me.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay. And this day.
Yeah. And this day. Not tomorrow, because who knows if he's going to be alive tomorrow. Okay, verse 31.
Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." So there's the time.
So we have a couple of time senses in there, don't we?
Yeah. Then she bowed.
It starts with then, sequential, going through a sequence. And he's not really...
Ever.
Doing a lot about forever, but he is using forever. May my King David live forever.
Right.
Okay.
Then King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came into the king's presence. The king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon."
Don't you think it's interesting that the whole nation would know that's David's mule?
It's probably decorated.
Could be, yeah.
In kingly attire.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that would be something that would be right. Okay, so there's even a sequence of events. He's there. The king says to do what first?
Call Zadok.
Call Zadok. That's the group.
And then they come into the king's presence.
He gives them instructions.
And then what were the instructions?
Take with you the servants of your lord.
One.
And have my son Solomon ride on my mule.
Two.
And bring him down to Gihon.
So whatever that is, that's what they're doing and where they're going. And he's giving them a list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 34, let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel and blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon.
So we have 4 and 5 there.
Verse 35, then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah.
He talks about it there as separately, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We know it will be separate later, but they're still one nation.
Yeah.
But they're separated. I mean, it's one's high up and one's down low, because they are the 10 and the 2. Okay.
36. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, "Amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, as the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then... Oh, sorry. Did somebody stop me? No? Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon."
So it was done.
Mm-hmm. He was anointed king.
So what did you learn there about who's on our list? Solomon, and that's pretty much who's on our list.
Well, there's geographical to Gihon.
Okay, so we have geographical.
David's mind was still clear.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to give orders.
He did. Yeah, it kind of got energized, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
His orders exactly.
Because he was the king. He was a respect. By the time he died, he was a very respected. There were points in his kingship that the people weren't paying attention to him, weren't following him, and weren't honoring him. But by the time he died, they were. They're so fickle. Okay.
Do we keep reading?
We do.
Okay. Verse 40. All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Why is the city making such an uproar?" While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came in. Then Adonijah said, "Come in, for you are a valiant man, and bring good news."
Woohoo!
But Jonathan replied to Adonijah, "No, our Lord King David has made Solomon king."
Okay, so up to that point, give me time senses.
While he was speaking.
Now,
and what is the now following?
It's right before he's on.
It's following the noise, yeah,
following
the joyful.
The noise.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, so then again, you're seeing sequence all through here. These are events. Mm-hmm. While he was speaking, well, who was speaking? Joab was speaking, and he's wondering what's going on. Jonathan, the son, comes in. And so you have a but. Why the but in verse 43?
To conflict?
To what?
The news was not good news.
It was not
right.
Good news. They thought it was good news, it wasn't good news. Any other time sequences in there? You have a now in verse 41. Go from there.
While he was still speaking?
While he was still speaking.
When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet.
When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet. While he was speaking. And then. Good. Okay. Why are we doing this?
Well, the sequence to these things is vital.
Develop context.
And we're developing context. Mm-hmm. And it's stopping us. Because think about the first time we read it. The first time we read it, did you get all this? So we're stopping and paying attention. Okay.
Verse 44. The king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the... Did I read this already?
I don't think so.
Okay.
About 100 times,
yeah,
but I don't think
but
so.
Not in 44. Yeah. Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they have come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise which you have heard.
And who's saying all this?
Jonathan.
Jonathan's
the son.
Saying all this.
Yeah.
That's all the way back in verse 43. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 46. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom.
Can you imagine the feel of this room right now? What they're feeling, what's going on, what they're thinking. You think about this in that sense, is this is real, was real at one point. You were sitting in a room celebrating the new king and found out that David had usurped that whole thing and put his king on. That would be a very frightening moment.
You don't want to be seen as part of this crowd anymore.
No.
Right. Everyone in that room is in danger. Yeah.
And it's deja vu because this happened before with Absalom, but they were on different sides then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the two brothers in the same family.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of Joab, he must have thought, oops.
Yeah.
I was right the first time and wrong this time.
Yeah, and they needed to have thought about going to the king and asking him in the first place, which they still didn't get, did they?
Right.
because it's the king. If it's the king who makes that decision, you don't make it.
Well, they were thinking differently. They were thinking of what they thought that should happen in the kingdom. Joab didn't see Solomon as a leader. He thought probably this other guy is the best leader.
Well, in his line, and what was his? What would? What? On what basis would Joab judge it?
Might,
yeah. Strength,
war,
pushing himself
war,
out there.
Power. Yeah. Yeah, but Solomon did. Solomon had almost a mama's boy kind of a history, didn't he, or heritage?
Yeah, but I think Joab was still feeling the sting of David's feelings that he killed Absalom.
Right.
Absalom wasn't the only one he killed. He killed
He killed Amasa and Abner, but he killed David's favorite.
Yeah. After David.
So it could be why he's trying to put the other son on the throne.
Well, and they would do it by the firstborn son was gone, so the next one would be in line.
That would be the normal.
That would be the normal way to do it.
Exactly. As we see in the Bible, it fairly isn't normal, is it?
It's God's will.
It's God chooses individuals, not lineage, in that sense. Okay.
It almost seems like they were impatient. That, you know, it's not being taken care of. I'm going to go take care of it myself. And I think we have a tendency to do that, too. We don't think God's working fast enough for us, so we need to go manage the situation and take care of it.
And if you follow them, they were pretty good at doing that, weren't they? Because they want to be in charge. They want to be in charge too. And if it's a power play that's going to happen,
they're going to be part of it.
They're going to be part of it, and they're going to take a side they think is going to win. There's always something that they don't know, though, isn't there? God's not going to let. He's not going to let the wrong person be on the throne, no matter what he's chosen. And we don't we don't have kings that we choose, but we still do something, and we need to think about that, don't we?
But you know, David had already told them when they were talking about the temple, and David had called them all together. Wasn't that in 2 Samuel?
That's probably what we ought to touch base on when we get back together again next week at 10 o'clock.
Maybe I wouldn't.
You're fine.
Yeah.
But
I love having you here, Charlene. You remember things that I, when I do a lesson,
yes,
I have a tendency of focusing
my
on that
so
lesson.
Bad.
And you remember the whole thing. See, this is one of the benefits of not having eyes. She has to remember. That's what you said to me. You said that you have found that that other things had to be used besides just what you could see. You had to remember. And you know, Christians, we know with the communion, we are to be remembering, remembering, remembering. And this is part of what we also remember. When we look at ourselves in this little time sense. Look how much history has gone before us, and all of that leads up to where we are right now. But this is not the most important time. The most important time is what God does and what He is and what He's led to lead us to be consistent with what He's told from the very beginning. Can you imagine how amazing it is that all this time has gone since Genesis, and yet He's going to have His way? He's going to have all of it taken care of. And Jesus has died and rose again, and we're still looking back at that as the most important thing that's happened in all of history.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God is in charge.
Yes.
And just as you said, we get so impatient. Youth particularly gets impatient. I know all of us remember when we're even more impatient. But we're learning how to listen and watch and wait upon Him, and that takes maturity, I think. Okay.
And other thing, I want to share another fact. Genesis to all of those New Testament, and then the Revelation, all that. And I would sit down and think and prayed about it, God. God, you spoke 2,500 years ago. Now it's that today. And at that time, you spoke to people. And I just reading Bible, I don't get it through here. Then at the, he used to speak in all sorts of stuff. How come you don't speak to me, you know, kind of types, you know? But I'm not there then. I still obey the following step. Why you cannot, that time you speak in the Bible, New Testament, all the people talk, why you can talk to us now? And praying after that reminded me, I talk to you all the Bibles.
Yeah.
I would never thought about that. I just cry. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reading there all the Bible. I'm, what am I, you know, Lord, you know?
I think they didn't have that either. Right. You've got something that history didn't have.
Right.
Prior to the time of Christ, they didn't have that. Even during the time of Christ, they didn't all get all the letters, so they didn't know everything that was going on.
Mm.
And they didn't have the Holy Spirit until after Jesus died in the same
way. But he talked to Drake and people, Moses, Jeremiah, it's Isaiah, and all the people talking. A New Testament coming out of the Holy Spirit, that I will never get that.
Well, let me ask you something to think about it. Why did God talk to those people directly that he doesn't in the same way today? What is different today?
We have his word.
We have the Holy Spirit.
We have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he's not adding to the word.
Right.
He answers us. You don't think about this, but he answers us through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, and as we read the word, it becomes very alive to us. It was already alive, but it becomes alive to us because we're now reading it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he is speaking new to you in that.
Yeah. How about all the stuff going on with the tornadoes and the
isn't that
floods
fascinating?
And,
yes.
And the fires in
California.
Wine country is burning up.
I think the reason we're saying that is because it's hitting our country.
Right.
But how many times does it hit all over the world?
I know.
We don't really talk about it all that much. Cyclones that hit India every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And when China has a earthquake, 25,000 die.
Oh, year? Yeah. Oh, people die.
Yeah. We pay attention when people die, but we tend to pay attention when Americans die, don't we? But it's no different than any other time.
Yeah.
I was down in Southern California when the big earthquake hit there and was toppling all the
freeways
and stuff. In fact,
was that like the 89 earthquake, the North Korea?
89,
one?
I think.
No, it was the one that did Southern California. Because I was in geology at that point, and our classes went down there, and people weren't allowed to even be in that area. I mean, it was just, I remember watching, and as I looked out, because I could hear it coming, I looked out the window, and I watched in front of my house do this.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that kind of makes it more real to me? But how about the people in China? They could have cared less, because it's not real. Mm-hmm. When Northern California and the freeways and the overpasses went crushing down, it's our country, so we pay more attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer you are, or more people you know in an area you pay attention to, but it's still happening all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's
kind of
if it hits our family,
right,
it's more important than
exactly.
It hits the neighbor.
Yeah. And being Americans, ever arrogant of ourselves, we always think we're more important than the rest of the world, regardless.
I remember
I've got
the
a
49.
Granddaughter that's in California now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of important.
Yes.
Yeah. And those fires started where my father-in-law used to live.
She's about
up in Calistoga, which is in Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino.
Yeah. But she's got stuff
packed. I remember the 49 earthquake that hit the Seattle area. I was just a little kid, but I could remember. I was tall enough to look out the door and see the
room. Watch the waves.
My goodness.
There's
and Mother was making the bed, so she's here, and then she's here, and
then
she's here.
Luckily, the house didn't come down. You also remember the October windstorm.
Oh, yeah. We kind of went home early that day.
Now, see, I wasn't here. I didn't know about that until I moved up here, but it was like the biggest thing in the world that happened up here.
Yeah.
We do. I think that God, in his infinite wisdom, is always trying to get our attention. And he does it in places all over the world. I mean, when Mount St. Helens went off, did you not pay attention?
Yes.
Yeah, I was out on the deck and heard the after, you know, the aftershock. The, it sounded like lightning and thunder.
I was in Pennsylvania, and we had ash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did, too, in Iowa.
I was in North Dakota, and the ash was there, too.
Cleaning
so
the
it was all over.
It actually went all over even to Europe. So mm-hmm. We just don't think of that because it was so local. I flew over there the day before.
Yeah.
Not right over because you weren't allowed over there, but I was coming back from St. Louis to
kind of skirted.
Well, you, I don't know how far you are, but you see this great big mound that mm-hmm. looks like an oval snowball. You know, the remember those snowballs they used to eat with a really squishy marshmallow and cake in the middle and
yep.
cream? And
yep.
That's what it looked like with black kind of soot on top.
Yeah, my boss had just come back from California. She'd gone down to the headquarters and had a meeting there, and they kind of skirted it, too, and she saw it, too.
Yeah.
It was really something.
Fascinating. But
Richard was in Ellensburg at noon on that day.
Oh, not a good place to be.
He said it was so black, and he had the company rig. He'd just taken the train crew over, and he's bringing the new ones, the old ones back. And by the time they got home, they had to change every filter on that engine.
Yeah, that's what kind of got clogged up with the filters. I had to put a breather on Chris because he is asthmatic, and we were in Portland. And I think Portland got hit worse than here, but not
yeah.
like
Yakima. Yeah, as far as the ash.
Yakima was the worst.
Because I was in Mukilteo, and we barely got a sprinkling of ash on our car.
See, all of those things are just road points to push us to remember and think about the hand of God, and that He is there and He is involved. Even in Las Vegas, there's a story I read years ago called The Bridge Over San Luis Rey. I don't know if any of you ever read that. We had to read it in high school. And it was a story, I think, of five people who died when the bridge collapsed. But the story is to go back over each one of their lives and see why they were the one that died. And it's fascinating when you think about it, and you think about all the different lives. Imagine Las Vegas was filled with people, and that particular day they had... I mean, that guy had to really think about what he did. Really Toledo, but... But what lives were involved? Who didn't come to the concert? Who came and wasn't going to come? I mean, all of those things. God is in control. He has His hand on all of that. We can be so thankful to know that He knows what's going on, whether we understand or not, or that earthquakes or anything else. And this is just a little picture of that. And we get the little pictures always in our lives, and to pay attention to those things.
I always think about that when there's a hurricane or tornado that comes through, how it'll wipe out houses all around, and yet that one house is standing.
So yeah, it's always, well, our OSA, I mean, here we had OSA just a little while ago, and how that thing, that the mud came down the hill and took one woman and her child and scootered them for miles on top of the mud. Mm-hmm. That's kind of amazing. And can you imagine being her for the rest of your life living with that?
Yeah.
Knowing that you were saved and nobody else in your community around you at all?
Oh, boy, I knew his mother. She worked at the nursing home where I worked.
Yeah. There you go.
And she was the only survivor in her family.
Yeah.
Her other kids and husband died. But it gave her something to live for. I mean, she wasn't a Christian, but she got to thinking about things after that.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
It's kind of like, I think even the Las Vegas people, like, it could be anybody, anytime. We need to always be ready to meet the Lord.
Which is why he says, be alert, be alert, be alert, be alert. Pay attention. It is not out of his control. It's not out of his hand. He's accomplishing what he will accomplish. Can we trust that? Those are hard things to think about when it's your family that has been wiped out. It's kind of... When I say awesome, not the way that youth today or whoever uses the word awesome, but it's awesome in the sense of it should make us amazed that God is doing what He is doing. Okay, you ready? What verse are we on?
I'll recap 46.
Okay.
Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. 47. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, May your God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed.
Why do you suppose, I mean, we're not going to answer that this week, but think about why they would want, why they would say that about the next king, that he would be greater than the last king. Now, if it were in, if it were the Gentile king, they would have wiped out that next king, because they wouldn't want him competing. But it isn't that way with...
King David is the one that said he will be king today. And so he's in agreement with that. And that's, he is the next king. That's why they're
saying. And we also know that God said that David could not build a temple because what? Mm-hmm.
Because he was a warrior.
Because he was a man of war. He had blood in his hands. So in that very sentence alone, he would be a greater king, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was Solomon not a king of peace?
I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet.
I heard that somewhere. I read that somewhere in some of these lessons.
Verse 48.
Yeah, he was a man of wife, of many wives.
He was a lover, not a father.
A lover, not a father. It's probably where they got that same notion thing. Go ahead.
Verse 48. The king has also said thus, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today, while my own eyes see it. Then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose, and each went on his way.
Yeah, it probably should say, ran out the door.
Yes. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar.
I assume we're going to look that up again. Go ahead.
Now it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon said, If he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground. But if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, Go to your house.
And that is where we'll leave it for this week. And finish up day 2 through 5. We'll do some cross-referencing. And more than you think. Have fun.